Continuing a series on Sunday evening from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. A list that begins where six things the Lord hates and seven are an abomination. We began with lesson number one on a proud look. Second lesson was the lying tongue. Last week's lesson was on hands that shed innocent blood. So number four in the series is this evening, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, or wicked plans. So usually I like to have put in definitions, and for a couple of reasons. One, not only just to define the word, but also it seems like many times, the definition also gives us the application. So that helps us to understand the word alike. So we're going to look at take the verse and just make four definitions of the words of the verse. So number one is a heart. Obviously, it's not the physical blood-pumping organ in our chest, but rather the center of intellectual activity. It's the center of thoughts and emotions. And Hebrew writer describes it in these terms. And I just put part of the verse in your note. But Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So the heart that we're speaking of is capable of thinking and having intentions. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give account." So God not only sees our outside, but sees our inside. The thoughts and the intent, the process that motivates us to a certain course of action. Webster has these words associated with the heart. And these are not in your notes. But it's just interesting, it not only talks about the physical heart, but the thoughts and intent. But Webster, when he lists heartache, heart attack, heartbeat, heartbreak, heartburn, heart disease, heart failure, heartache, heart attack, the heartbeat, there's heartfelt, it can be heartless, not the physical organs, it can be heart sick, have heart strings is a figure of speech, heart throb, heart to heart, heart warming, heart rending, heart sore or heart sick, and whole heart. So a lot of things are associated with the heart. But in our lesson this evening, the wise man talks about a heart that devises wicked imaginations. W.E. Vine, in his expository dictionary of words, uses the Greek word for heart as cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. The heart in English, cardiac. You understand that. He put the physical definition, the chief organ of physical life. And then in parenthesis, he said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And that was last week's lesson. Leviticus 17, verse 11. W. Vine went on to say, "It occupies the most important place in the human system, the heart. And by easy transition, the word came to stand for man's entire mental and moral activity, both the rational and the emotional elements." In other words, the heart is used figuratively, and I like this phrase, for the hidden springs of personal life. Well, that's almost a quote from Solomon in Proverbs 4, verse 23. I wonder if he thought about that verse when he was writing his definition. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Vine said, The heart is used figuratively for the hidden springs of personal life. So when we think about the heart, man's physical and, you know, spiritual health depend in a large part upon the condition of the heart, the mind. Now, you can suffer the loss of other organs, but you can't sustain the failure of the heart. So in not only just a biological sense, but in our text today, in the spiritual sense. So it's very good advice to keep your heart with all diligence, just as we take care of our physical heart. Give it lots of attention. You know, even when Rex mentioned a moment ago in the announcement, so Benny had a heart, you could see all the faces go, that's serious. I saw this in a bulletin, so I cut it out, and I even have it taped to in the wall of my office. I don't know who the author is. It just said, you see the progression. So it begins by saying, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Well, then watch your words, for they become actions. Well, then watch your actions, for they become habits. And watch your habits, for they become character. Now watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Yeah. He spent a lot of time in talking about Israel or Judah, the Old Testament Southern Kingdom, and their heart and attitude toward God, especially in obeying His commands. So Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 14 says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness. Can't wash the inside. But wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. And he asked the question, how long shall your evil heart, evil thoughts, lodge within you? How long? How long are you going to keep thinking that way? In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart's the things desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Many times, our heart dictates, that phrase is, our not only just our attitudes, our actions. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And it doesn't just leave it with the thoughts. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, then murders, thefts, blasphemies. Starts with the heart. These are the things which defile a man. So when the author is writing these six things the Lord hates, and yea, seven are abomination, boy, you're talking about the heart, that which is within, that which produces those ideas and intentions that moves toward the actions. So second, he has that devises, the heart that devises. Of course, our text deals with the wicked devices. Hearts can have good intents too. But in this text, it means to, if you have a device, and I put this definition again in your notes, to invent or to plot, plan, scheme. David said in Psalm 36, beginning of verse 3, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and do good. Stop doing that. Because it's the thoughts of the heart. He devises wickedness on his bed. He's good. He does not abhor evil. Devises iniquity and works out evil. Verse 14 says, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil. Now it adds the word continually. I wonder, the Lord hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations. One that doesn't stop. It's the iniquities of the wicked man that in this verse, it seemed like this person would have has a backup plan. If one plot fails, this person that devises wicked imaginations is one that's going to formulate another. It's continual. If one plan reaches its purpose, then he sets to work on a fresh one, perhaps on someone else. Job 21, verse 27 says, look, God talked to him, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. The thoughts and the schemes, the heart that devises. Remember the story? Right now the verses have been kind of, oh, wow. But I remember a story of a man that was fired from his job. Another man asked him, but what do you plan to do? Are you thinking about getting even with the boss? The man said, oh, yes. I plan to buy a glass-bottom car so I can see the look on his face when I run over him. Heart that devises wicked imagination. There's no such thing as a glass-bottom car. But he's a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Guard your heart with all diligence. Third word or section in the verse is wicked imaginations. A heart that devises and wicked imaginations. It means obviously evil, wicked. Bad in character and thought. Naughty. I saw that one in the dictionary. Malicious. Harmful. Wrong. To inflict injury on another without justification. Maltreat or mistreat. So Proverbs 15, verse 26 is that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Well, that's our text too. Proverbs says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. So here, go back to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, throughout his book, he deals with these wicked thoughts on the part of Judah. So in Jeremiah 3:17, he says, at that time, Judah shall be called the throne of the Lord. Meaning when the reconstruction, no more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. Well, that's what they were doing. That's what led them to be captive. Chapter 7, verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. Followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Backslide. Chapter 11, verse 18. So the Lord said to me, a conspiracy. Oh, there's another definition. Heart that devises wicked. Oh, a conspiracy. Has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They've turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear my words. Heart that devises wicked imagination goes backwards. Chapter 16, verse 12 says, you've done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me, says the Lord. This verse gives the definition of our text. It says, now therefore, God says, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. So God says, I'm devising a plan against you, Judah. So then Jeremiah continued to return now every one from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good. But they said, that's hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans. And we will, every one, obey the dictates of his evil heart. I'd like to view Jeremiah. You were the preacher for that congregation in Judah. And that was the attitude of the people that you're preaching to. Trying to rally them around. Trying to move them back to God. And they said, no, we're going to obey the dictates of our evil hearts. So now the last one is our imaginations. If you imagine something, there's a reasoning, a thought, a thinking over. Things to ponder. To form a mental picture of something not present. So you're devising, a heart that devises wicked plans. I'm going to chew on this. Well, think about it. Well, let that just kind of roam around in my mind. Yeah. My imagination. It means to conceive, to have in mind. Then the added dictionary definition was to practice as a result of devising or planning. It precedes imitation, was a phrase. So what we think typically in this definition says this is what we're going to do. What we conceive is going will determine our actions. James describes the sequence this way. But each one is tempted. Yeah, we're all tempted. But then he's drawn away by his own desires or lusts. But not only that, then he's enticed. And then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. All starts the way we think. What we meditate on. It's our thought process. David wrote about those who intended evil or had imagined evil things against him. Psalm 21, verse 11. They intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they're not able to perform. Devised a plot. Psalm 38, verse 12. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt, they speak of destruction, plan deception all the day long. Wow. Psalm 104, David said, deliver me, O God, from evil men. Preserve me from the violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. Against me, they plot. In verse 4, it says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. Yeah. So it will be those in our life that have a heart that devises wicked imaginations and may be against us. God hates it. I just put just closing notes. Jesus did not escape their wicked imaginations. In Mark 11, verse 18, the scribes, the chief priests, heard it, in other words, what he said, and sought how they might destroy him. They sought. Now they started getting together. In a couple chapters later, Mark 14, verse 1, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. Oh, the wicked imaginations. In John 11, verse 53, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Yeah, so even Jesus. Of course, I just put the wicked imaginations are not new. You can go back to the beginning and think, oh, boy, that describes our generation. Well, it's every generation. In Genesis 6, right, the story that's associated with Noah, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In Psalm 10, verse 2, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. In Proverbs 12, verse 20, deceit's in the heart of those who devise evil. Then Romans chapter 1, familiar with. Because although they knew God, did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Another translation says, vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became foolish. So it brings to a close the lesson on a heart that devises wicked imaginations. So the warnings I tried to give throughout, even though I gave all the definitions and things like that, but the verses that said, you'll keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then the closing verse I have in your notes, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the last one, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, David said, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. For the The Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. And if you seek Him, He'll abound by you. But if you forsake Him, He'll cast you off forever. We want a heart that moves us toward God. A heart that brings us nearer. Nearer, still nearer to God. That's the admonition and the lesson. I don't want a heart that the Lord hates. Bless us. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. There is one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. You need to follow that simple good news gospel plan. If that's your heart's desire, that's your resolve, we can accomplish that. My brethren, for strength or encouragement, let that be known at the close of the song. So let's stand together in a song and use it as a song of invitation, exhortation, and song of encouragement for us to make sure our heart is right.